lot of kids come find me after that.
Thank you. his house again this evening. Looks like we're a little bit few in number, but thank the Lord for the ones that are here. Do you know where Chris and Glenn are? Does anybody know?
I think they're all there. I know Chris was with Karen.
Oh, that's right. Appreciate you. Okay. Okay, I got you. So, and then was Glenn just played at work, do you know?
He had Chris and then like an airport, just like this evening.
Oh, she just now getting off school?
No. She was on vacation.
Oh, okay, okay. All right, so good.
Her and Dr. O'Brien's. Anyways, he had two of them.
Okay, is his eye doing better?
Sunday, it still had a real red spot on his eyeball, but he said it doesn't hurt, but it's still red.
Okay. At least it don't hurt him. His vision was okay anyway, wasn't it?
Yeah, he did go have a tech dream.
Okay.
It was awful that first day, but it just looked up.
Well, I can't say nothing. I kind of know how that is. If it's still working, it's probably all right. It's kind of, I don't know, I can't think this way. Most of us look at it. You can move it, you did. Right. I don't know, I think this house, most of us men look at it, but Lord watches it out for us.
He
does. Yeah. All right, who's got a request of prayer this evening before we come pray? Amen. Lord sees all these. Ms. Sherry was mentioning that Ms. Vivian's not doing good today. She's got something going on with her stomach. And Preacher Stone was mentioning that his wife's got some sinus problems. And I know it's like Preacher said, it's that time of year. We're probably, it's going to be one this week and one the next week, you know. But I do appreciate the Lord helping us, because I'd started to get kind of a lot of extra drainage and stuff in the last week. And I was worried it was going to mess me up preaching Sunday morning, you know. Because last time I was supposed to preach for Preacher Dwight, I had to call him and cancel because I had a fever where I had a sinus infection. So I was praying the Lord to help me not go that same route this time, you know, and he blessed, and I was feeling a lot better by the weekend, and I really appreciate the Lord helping Preacher Dwight. He looked so good Sunday, and I could tell he felt so much better. I was telling Preacher Stone, he even looked like he was walking better. I mean, am I imagining that? Okay, I didn't think so. That's what I was telling the preacher. I didn't really notice that he was walking oddly before, because it wasn't real obvious, but seeing him Sunday, seeing the difference, it made me realize that evidently that pain was affecting the way even he was walking. So just really appreciate the Lord helping those doctors finally come to the realization of what was actually wrong,
right?
You know, and getting him some help there. I know Ms. Sheepy said she's feeling better. I think she's still having some pain though, so continue to remember her, you know, where she cracked that rib, you know, from coughing and stuff. So let's see. Otherwise, she's doing okay though, isn't she? Okay. And Gary Bibbins got to come Sunday. Miss Barbara didn't get to come with him, but I just continue to remember them and pray. They got a lot of health problems. And now, am I remembering right? Are they not in revival up at Preacher, West Virginia?
Oh, no.
Denver.
Denver Burnside, yeah. That's this week, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought they were up there this week, so pray for those preachers that are up there. Pray the Lord give them a good meeting and give them safe travels. But now, is Preacher Stacy having a meeting this week?
Yeah.
Okay.
It starts tonight. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be in the morning at 11, and tomorrow evening at 7, and then Friday morning, and then Friday evening, and then Saturday morning. That's okay. Solid Rock and Drexel.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So remember that, Preacher Stacy Lane's church. To pray the Lord to get a good meeting there.
Amen.
And, remember Mom, if she would. She's really still not doing good. She ain't been able to leave the house except for to go to the doctor. We was praying that she'd get to go to church Resurrection Sunday morning, and she can breathe. She's about got to stop between the vehicle and the church, you know. And it's still, you know, she went to the cardiologist, and they want to send her to a regional specialist, but he can't see her till August because he's the only one in the region. So, I mean, I just don't know. And Dad's real worried about her. And, you know, he's got to go out of work and stuff. And he's kind of scared to leave her. But just pray that God would work in that situation there, really to give grace to Mama. Dad said she's really getting down, not being able to go anywhere. And Mama never really was a person that wanted to just go all the time. But she don't want to be cooped up in the house all the time either. So really just pray, if you would, that the Lord would help that. And that Lord would help Dad to trust him with mama while he's got to be at work, and the Lord watch over, and, you know, pray for him as he's pastoring there, because that's something that's going to be a constant weight on your mind, and then, you know, trying to minister to the church and be what you need to be for the church, you know, it's going to weigh on you and try to pull you down. So pray that God would give him the grace also to be the pastor that he needs to be, even in the midst of those circumstances. Who else has got a request this evening? Come to my memory when we was at Burns Memorial Sunday. One of the brothers down there, name's Bob. I don't think I call his last name. I don't know if you know who I'm talking about, older gentleman. But he was talking about a brother of his that's got kidney failure, and he was asking us to pray for him. But he was telling me there's not but a few of his siblings left, you know. But And I'll be honest, I can't remember his brother's name, so that's all I remember is Bob's brother.
Right.
Over Burns Memorial.
Was it Bob Chapman's brother?
Chapman, yes. Chapman, you're exactly Chapman. Right. That's it, yes.
Yes, some of his kin goes to church over at Queen's Church. At Sunnyside.
That's neat.
Yeah. Amen. All three of the churches is linked. Both of those churches, Dwight's Church and Sunnyside, come out of Bethlehem over there on Watershed Road. You know that?
Yeah, I think I remember you telling me that a long time ago.
Yeah, some of these kin goes over there too. That was Cody Golden's church. That's where
Bethlehem.
That's where he pastored.
And speaking of Chapman, I continue to remember Lucy. Is she still doing pretty good? Were they here Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So just continue to pray that the Lord would get her healed up. They still haven't said anything about a date for a surgery, have they?
No.
Okay.
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, I guess they're waiting on her to get a little bit stronger. I don't know.
Katie said probably
get
some
time
around
you.
Then I don't know
if
she said
that
she said
that
the fucking brother
would
be here.
Okay.
Pray for Derek. I think he's having some back troubles. He mentioned it to me, but Katie told Stephanie. And I don't know, he just don't seem like the type to ever mention anything going on with him.
Nah.
But and he might not want to smoke, but we know we're gonna pray about him.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, definitely pray for our youth meeting. I guess that's gonna be a week from today, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
Thought so. Yeah, it's gonna be on us. So just remember that much in prayer. Remember Preacher Curtis. I'm very much looking forward to hearing what the Lord has given him for us. And remember our pastor this evening, of course, and Lord would use him and work through him. And remember our foundations on Sunday. We got that on Sunday. So there's all kinds of stuff. So.
Amen.
Remember Holly, she has a lump in her neck, and they think it's on her thyroid. They did some tests, and they won't tell her what the test results are on the phone. They told her she needs to come in. They need to talk to her about it. So. I found out that today.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not something that you want them to tell you. You want to know.
Yeah.
But I don't want to wait. And she has to go in for that. And also, still remember Preacher Marlowe in Wilkesboro. He was respirator. And he's, or on a vent, it would treat there, whatever. But anyway, he's been trying to wean off of that. And they said up to 12 hours he could go without it, but now he's, he was unresponsive for a little while, but now he's responsive again, so that's an improvement.
Okay, amen, remember this.
We still have some special requests. The lady that is charged that's got breast cancer, I think she's facing some surgery. They keep praying for the family, they're also awards.
Amen, yeah. See, now it's, is it Debbie? Is it Debbie?
Donna.
Donna, okay. Amen, remember this. And remember, me and Christina's friend, Paula Calloway also, she's, we mentioned her before, she's got breast cancer, she is still, it was just, it was that her second chemo treatment?
It was Monday.
Yeah, did you hear about it?
I heard about it.
Okay, and which that's kind of normal, so that don't worry us too much if it stays before we hear back, because it's just kind of, that's how they are, and so we don't worry about it.
I want to thank God this evening for having me at the house of God.
Amen, yeah.
I want to thank God for loving me, allowing us to sing them songs of praise. He's worth more than we can give.
Amen.
I like just sitting reading them songs sometimes.
Yes.
I tell that, you know, a lot of those songs was written with a great deal of conviction.
Yes.
Inspiration from the Lord. I mean, I know they're not scripture, nothing like that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that.
Yeah.
You can tell that there's a divine hand upon it, you know.
Amen.
It's not just, it wasn't just written idly or in vain. It was, somebody had something in their heart that God put there. And I appreciate the Lord allowing us to worship.
Amen.
He don't know us a thing. He's good to us all
Amen.
The time. And even in hardship and trials, and even through difficulties of life, God's always good. And especially when things are good, He's still good.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just like Paul said, he said, whatever state I find myself in, I've learned therewith to be content.
Amen.
And I thank God for giving me contentment.
Amen.
But I don't have to, I'm satisfied. Don't have to look and search and reach and grasp and try to catch hold of something else. I've got Jesus. That's
Amen.
All I need. I thank God for that.
Amen. I was thinking about that same thing. We were singing that first song, more about Jesus and singing them words. And I know everybody else the same way as me. I know I can't be no worse than anybody else. You get off work on Wednesday and you rush home and you try to get stuff done and you get to church and you get here and you know, a lot of times I don't feel real spiritual on Wednesday.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
But boy, man, that song, that's kind of, you know, that was starting to head me back in the right direction. I appreciate the lyrics.
Amen.
Yeah, I guess I'd like to thank God for the grace and mercy that He's been giving to me here in the past little while, because I have been more or less on the road to destruction. But I mean, He just keeps pulling me back. I'll go straight away and He'll pull me back.
Amen.
I just want to thank Him for what He's doing for me and keeping me pulled back.
Amen.
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 He's a good God.
Yes.
Amen.
He can just let us do things our way and see how it works out for us. You ever do that to your children?
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to let them do it their way. You know? But God, He don't just let us do it our way. You know, I was having a conversation with a man earlier today, and he's talking about, he went through a time in his life, and he called his wife, run around on him, and said, he found out where that fella worked, and said he showed up over the 357 Magnum, and he's going to kill that boy. And he said, that day, I promise you, I'll kill him. He said, but he didn't show up to work that day. He said, another day, I had more self-control. He said, but that day, I killed him. He said, you know, I learned. He said, then, even whenever I'm going to do something I know that God might not necessarily have me do, he said, He's still looking out for me.
Amen.
You know, and he said, I believe it was divine intervention that kept me from, that man from being there that day.
Amen.
And so, you know, I was thinking about that and how true that is in my life. And just like Brother Nick said, you know, even when we start to mess up, it's like God just reaches down, and, you know, he forces His hand on us sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's a blessing.
Amen.
I'm glad for that.
Yeah. And I definitely see it in my own life, not even all that long ago. You know, you pray for the Lord to help you with something you're struggling with, and you start to mess up and he throws something in the way. And you realize immediately in that moment, man, God just answered that prayer.
Yeah.
I didn't have it in me, you know. So he just stepped in.
Amen.
Amen. All right, that's all I'm talking about.
She'll say, I'm getting up, I'm coming, you know, I'm I'll start turning lights on. Don't do that. I'll turn them back off. And I said, well, come on, you know, and I keep on, I finally get her up anyways this morning. I said, honey, I said, come on, I got your coffee. And she's like, I don't feel good. I'm not getting up. I said, all right. I said, I'll pray for you. She's like, thanks. So I could tell, you know, it wasn't happening today. She wasn't feeling it. But she made it over to the doctor and stuff, and they got her started on some antibiotics. Hopefully she'll be feeling better by the weekend. But yeah, just continue to pray for her. And pray for Miss Vivian.
Yeah.
But in any case, I wish she could be here. But even if she's not, I'm glad to be here.
Amen.
One of them was sick last week. She didn't go to the movie when we went to Smart Fair. Which one of them was sick? It wasn't her. It was one of those. Oh, yes, Cambry was sick. I can't remember. Them little ones, you can't even remember they get sick because they're sick for about 13 hours. And then they'll be like, crack to run wide open.
Yeah.
They'll run a fever and throw it up everywhere. And then a few hours later, they back at it again.
Yeah.
But in any case, but yeah. But what else was I going to say? Remember the camp meeting rally coming up? That's going to be, when did I say that? What was it?
May the 29th.
May the 29th. Thank you, Scott. At Mount Calvary at 7 o'clock. And the one preaching is going to be, it's one of the ones that's preaching in the camp meeting.
Curtis Ponder.
Curtis Ponder. That's right. Yep. Be praying for that. Be praying for the camp meeting coming up. Be praying for the youth camp. That's coming up at the end of June. Right after camp meeting is over with, we'll be going to take the youth up there at the youth camp. Be praying much about that. Hold on a second, and I will tell you the exact times. Here we go. Tomorrow morning, Friday, and Saturday, they'll be having services at 10 a.m. And they'll be having tomorrow, Friday, they'll be having services at 7 p.m. The last service, I guess, will be here the 6th, April the 6th, at 10 a.m. So, yeah, Thursday, I'm going to start getting reading glasses. Yeah, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 10 a.m., and then Thursday and Friday, they're also having 7 p.m. services. They got, and that's at Solid Rock and Drexel. I meant to tell you about this a couple weeks ago, and I forgot you know this. But in any case, but yeah, that's my sister's church. My sister Shasta, that's where she goes. But I'll try to go over there. I might go in the morning over there. But in any case, I think that's all I had to say. Yep, has anybody got any songs on their heart they want to sing tonight? Are you going to sing with him? I thought she was, it looked like you was trying to get Jenny to come sing with you.
I was trying to get her to sing.
Oh, I thought she was trying to get you.
No, I was thinking of her for her.
Just pray for us. We haven't done this one anywhere yet. I heard it on the radio. I heard it on the radio one day going to work, and I was like, I've got to look this song up because it was just a real blessing to me. And it's an older song, but I don't know why. I've just never heard it before. But so we've practiced it a few times at the house, but it's a little bit different at the house, isn't it? But we'll just do our best here this evening and give it to the Lord. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea.
enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I came to him. He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. My heart is leaning on the Word, the living Word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through His blood.
Amen.
I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. My great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood he shed, for me his life he gave. I need no other argument.
That's right.
I need no other. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. 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 That's good. You know, I don't like cities.
Amen.
Not really particularly at all. Matter of fact, I do all I can to avoid them.
Yep.
We went on a trip somewhere, and I'll take an hour detour to go around some big town, if I got to, just to get to avoid the red lights. And also, I don't particularly enjoy sunshine. A lot of y'all probably enjoy sunshine, but I have a really high sensitivity to light. And it gives me a headache, and believe it or not, it makes my sinus pressure rise. I don't know how that works medically or scientifically, but I know it happens. And if you ever pay attention to me much outside, I will usually have my sunglasses on because I want to protect my eyes from the sun. So I enjoy cloudy days. I enjoy whenever the clouds are out and it's overcast, and me, I feel better. I can see better. I don't have to squint my eyes. I enjoy that. But I know that whenever I get to heaven, I'll be glad to be in that city.
Yeah, amen.
And I will rejoice that there won't be a cloud in the sky.
Amen.
Because the anxiety I get from being around a lot of people is going to be gone.
Yeah.
And the sensitivity I've got to that light is going to be gone.
Yeah.
And that light is going to be glorious in my eyes.
Amen.
And I thank God for that.
Amen.
He's promised me all that. And if he says it's good, it's good.
Yes.
If he says that city is good, I promise you, you'd rather be there than have 1,000 acres out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Amen. But in any case, if you have your Bibles, I'm in the book of Daniel tonight. The book of Daniel in chapter number 3. Chapter 3 and verse, we'll get reading in verse number 12. Well, I will get to that eventually. Let's just skip forward. Let's read verse 19. Let's read verse 19. The Bible says, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And therefore, he spake and commanded they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was a stone, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said to his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for loving us. Lord, we pray that you'd add your blessing to the reading of your word to the preaching hour. May you be glorified and exalted in the name of your Son Jesus, be magnified in every way. It's in his name alone we beg. Amen. Amen. Been talking about the times that we see Jesus in the Old Testament and how that he's there and he's present. And, you know, earlier, Parker had asked me a question. He said, what's the book of Genesis about? In general, and I said, well, that's a book of beginnings, but truly all every book of the Word of God is about Jesus.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
Everything that's leading up to Jesus is about Jesus.
Yeah.
And everything that follows after Jesus' ascension is about Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, the whole book is about him. Amen. Yeah. The Bible says all things were created by him and for him. But we've looked at times where we've seen Jesus here. Here's another one of these times where we see Jesus. Now, the title of the message tonight is that he is with us in the fire. And we see here that he is with them in the fire as they are there in this furnace. But let's just back up a little bit. I started there because I didn't want you to have to stand for me to read the whole chapter. But we need to go over some things here. Understand, and I know most of us know this, but we'll go over it anyway. We'll talk about here how that first of all, the Israelites have been under captivity by the Babylonians. And the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar had said to get all of the smart and intelligent young men, and those that are of the palace, and he said to bring them in. He said, we'll teach them in the way of the Chaldeans. He said, we'll teach them our own sorcery. We'll teach them our own logic. He said, we'll teach them to act like us. We'll teach them to behave like us. See, they viewed these Jews, they viewed them as being some type of a religious nut job, so to speak. They viewed them as, well, they believe in some just big God that's up there that's in control. He's not in control. I'm in control. Nebuchadnezzar, the king. That's the way that his mind worked. That's the way the kingdom of Babylon's mind worked. That's why the Bible tells us, it talks about in Revelation, that new Babylon, that kind of kingdom. It's a type of kingdom that believes in their own power. It's a type of kingdom that believes that they worship themselves because of their own capability. Hey, that's the type of society you and I live in right now. It's ones that believe and worship their own selves and their own capability. People don't realize how much they need Jesus. I look around every day and I see people that's working their hind ends off chasing a dollar. Yeah. I see people that's killing themselves trying to retire. I read on a post here just, it was a thing that come up on my news feed. There on my phone, you know, it's got an Apple news feed, and it was saying that they done a study, and it said they studied and they talked to about 4,500 American adults that are set to retire in the next 3 years. And they said that they sat down and asked them about their lifestyle, and they asked them about their geographical location. And the mean average of retirement that they expected is somebody would have the amount of money they'd expect you to have put back to what they call retire comfortably. If you was just, and this is assuming you're 67 years old, and assuming that you only live to be 85. So that means that you've got a good 18 years left in you. And this is what they said. They said that assuming that you're 67 and you're going to retire right now, that you'd need $1.46 million in the bank to retire comfortably at the current rate of inflation, given that you'd live to be 85, meaning that you'd be able to pay all your bills and so on and so forth. Hey, I'll tell you, I got a retirement plan.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And I ain't talking about what the post office, I don't trust them. They do got a retirement, I don't trust them. No. They're already talking about Social Security's going bankrupt.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll tell you, you know what, let me tell you this, can I say this? This might hurt somebody's feelings. And I ain't picking on nobody, I know some of y'all's retired and everything else, but you know, retirement ain't even a biblical concept. It's not. And I get it, you retired, you ain't got to work, that's great, that's wonderful, you should take advantage of that. But we don't ever retire on God, amen?
Right, right.
Look at Preacher Billy, he stayed in there, and he's still serving God, but he stayed to give his life until he just couldn't no more, amen?
Yes.
That's the way a man ought to do it.
Yeah.
I respect that man because of that. Because he gave his all, amen? He stayed in there until he just couldn't even hardly go anymore. And still, you know, I mean, I'm not picking at him or nothing else, but you know that they still have struggled just to get from the vehicle back and forth.
Right.
But they'll come to the house of God, amen. They retire on God, amen.
Right.
But I see people out in the world today that are chasing after this so-called American dream. I'm going to tell you, we ought to be chasing after God, amen.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to tell you, them dollars don't satisfy. You talk to people that's rich beyond measure. Hey, I know of a young man. He's done really well for himself in real estate. And he's done really well selling homes and things. And he's got plenty of money. and he's got two little old youngins, and if he leaves them there with mama all day, and he sends them to public school, and then mama, she's got some friends that she ought not be running with, and they got these two little boys, and instead of getting them ball bats and BB guns, they let them play with Barbie dolls and all kinds of such like this. Hey, in the damn time we live in, that's dangerous, I'll tell you. And then daddy, instead of going to spending time with his youngins, he's got all this money to spend. He's going running off to playing poker tournaments and going to Cherokee gambling and so on and so forth. And hey, I'll tell you, he just keeps a stride. And that's how you get around him. That's all he wants to talk about is how much money he makes and how good he's a doing. And I don't tell you, friend, that don't impress me none. Hey, I don't tell you, I know that he's a hurting. I know he's a searching. Praise God, I don't have to be a searching. I don't have to be a hurting for nothing. I don't have to be a woman for nothing. Hey, I got Jesus, and that's all I need, amen. Hey, I know that whenever this body gets where it ain't working no more, praise be to God, he's going to take care of me, amen. He's going to take care of me. David said this, he said, I have been young, now I'm old. Yet I've seen God make all kinds of men rich. That ain't what he said, was it? He said, I've been young and I'm old, but he said, yes, I've never seen the Lord's forsaken, the Lord's children forsaken, nor his seed begging bread in the streets.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
You belong to him, he's going to take care of you. You might not have everything that you think you want.
Yeah.
Most of that stuff you think you want will do nothing but just occupy your time anyway.
Yeah.
Leaves you empty. Amen? You see here, though, that Nebuchadnezzar, that's the kind of mindset that the king had. He believed and he thought that by his own will, his own volition, his own power, that he was worthy to be worshipped. And so we begin chapter 3. It says, he made an image of gold whose height was 70 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, the province of Babylon. Heard a preacher one time give these dimensions and how that, you know, I think these cubits about a foot and a half, they say, or the distance from your elbow to your tip of your hand on an average grown man, it ends up being about a foot and a half. But it said that it was 70 cubits high. That would mean that it was 90 feet high. A 90-foot high statue, and it says that the breadth thereof was 6 cubits. That means that it was 9 feet wide. So it was 90 feet high, and it was 9 feet wide, and it's made of gold. Now just imagine what something like that would cost. Now, as he set this up, he's put this up, he said, look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. Kind of reminds me of Obama. He puts in that Obamacare, and then he says, now I want y'all to pay attention, and I want y'all to look at what I've done, and if you don't, we're going to fine you.
Yeah.
He said, you sign up for Obamacare, or you get fined. That's the way it was, wasn't it? It was, you know, that's not what he promised. It was going to be free and all that, which I didn't vote for in no way. But I'm saying that, you know, that's the way politicians do.
Yeah.
They give you empty promises. And that's the same kind of thing that Nebuchadnezzar had done here when he set this up. He said, now everybody pay attention. He said, then Nebuchadnezzar sent together the princes, verse 2, the governors, the captains, judges, treasurers, and counselors of all provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. People get some a bunch of money and that's what they want to do. They want to put their name on things. You walk around down there. You walk around, we was at the Canova Valley Science Center a while back. You know, they had certain rooms that had been dedicated by certain people, and that's good, and I'm glad for that, you know, that they make that possible. I still have to pay to go there. I don't see how they donate it, then I have to pay to go there. But, you know, whatever, I guess they got to pay people to work there. It makes sense. But in any case, we went in there, and, you know, they got people there. They've you know, donated to have this room built or whatever the case may be, and they got them there, and they're, you know, cutting a ribbon or shaking hands and so on and so forth, you know. I don't know, maybe they're really humble people, I don't know. I'm probably just being judgy. But, you know, my sense of people over in general is that most people like that, they love that kind of attention. They love that kind of, and it kind of reminds me of this mentality that the king of Babylon has. Whenever he says that he invited all the important people to come in, and he said, look at what I've done.
Yeah.
That's what all the important people like to do. They like to get together. Hey, I'm going to tell you, down here I ain't never been too important. I got a good family. I've always been the black sheep of the family. I told my wife the other night, I said, God called me to preach. I'm still the black sheep. I said, I don't know how you can be that bad that you're the black sheep even after God called me to preach. I said, but I guess that's just the way it is. But I love my family, but you know, they just always, I don't know, me and them just never was alike, I guess. They've always been, what you might say, I don't know. I don't know how to put it in a way that don't sound like I'm being ugly, and I'm not being ugly. I don't know, it's like they don't ever mess up. They don't make mistakes. They got it all together all the time. You know, it seems like my whole family, that's the way they've always been. But yet, then you got me, and I'm just a big screw-up. But you know what? That's all right, because I'm God's, amen?
Yeah,
amen. And I've got him, and that's all I need, amen?
Yeah, amen.
And so we see here that Nebuchadnezzar, though, he's got this mentality. He wants everybody to come around and see what he set up. And like I said, I've never been one of those important people. But I'm glad that I have a great deal of importance with God, amen?
Yes.
Hey, I'm glad that you've got a great deal of importance with God. Let me say this. I've got a great deal of importance with God. It ain't because I'm a pastor of the church.
Right.
It ain't because I'm a preacher.
Right.
It ain't because I've done anything special.
Amen.
It's because Jesus died for me.
That's right. Amen.
It's because my sins have been forgiven.
Amen.
I'll tell you, God doesn't need me to preach. It's my honor, it's my privilege to be able to preach for God.
Yes.
Hey, I'm going to tell you, God doesn't need you to witness to nobody.
Right.
God doesn't need you to sit down and read your Bible. He doesn't need you to pray for anybody. God is sovereign. He'll do what he'll do. But I want to say this, it's a privilege and an honor for you to get to serve God. And there ain't nothing going to satisfy like you serving God. Hey, I'm going to tell you, you could get out there and you could do all the things in the world that you could have to do. If you had the money to do it, what would you do with your life? I want you to think about that. If money was no object, where all would you go hunting then? And where all would you go and do and see the world? And what all things would you have? Have you ever sat and thought about that? I ain't never believed in the lottery. I don't think a Christian ought to buy a lottery ticket. I believe it's gambling. I believe it's wasting. God's good to, I believe it's being wasteful in your stewardship.
Yeah.
What God's given you, amen.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll tell you, if you want to see that money, do something with it. Even if it's just a dollar blooming Powerball, hey, put it in the offering plate. God will multiply it, amen.
Yeah.
God will use it, amen. It'll do some good, amen. But in any case, whenever we think about Nebuchadnezzar and the way that he felt about things, the way that he looked at things and how he wanted everybody there gathered around him, and he wanted everybody to see what he done and all that he had, and he said, look at what I've built. He had all the money to be able to do this. And this is what he does. He builds a great statue made of gold. Can you imagine the value and the cost of that? Like I said, if you had the money, what would you do with it? What would you do with it? Whatever you wanted, right? It wouldn't satisfy.
Right, amen.
This didn't satisfy Nebuchadnezzar. He said, he went to his people, I'm just thinking here. Just go along with me for a minute. And he said, what do we have in the treasury? What can we afford to do? How much gold can we put into this statue? I want to make it big. I want to make it grand. I want it to look better than anything else anybody's got. He said, I want it to be perfect. And he said, he called them all and he probably, you know, had them figure this up so that they could build just as big a statue as they could build. But it didn't satisfy them.
Yeah.
He tells them, after they have come here to see it set up, he says that they come to the dedication and said in verse 4, and a herald cried aloud to you, it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. Whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Wherefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound, the cornet, flute, the harp, the sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man shall hear when he shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. Whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. He makes a decree. Just like I was talking about, you know, Obama, just using that for example. Because it's out of pride. You are paying, if you don't have health insurance, you have to pay a fine. For you young people who don't know, in my lifetime, since I've been working, it used to not be that way.
Yeah.
And now it is. Matter of fact, you used to go to the doctor, and if you didn't have health insurance at all, it didn't cost you but about $40 to go to the doctor. Or my doctor didn't. If you didn't have any health insurance at all. But because of the insurance and because of Obamacare, it's made the premiums go up. It's made the copays go up. It's caused more complication within the offices and within the doctor's offices. And so that's why medical expenses is so expensive now, is because it started with that Obamacare.
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do with nothing more than pride. Man wanted to be noticed and recognized and wanted everybody to be involved with something he had his hand on. That's what it was. That's the way man is.
Yeah.
That's the way man is. That's the way Nebuchadnezzar was. That's the way this world system is. And that's the way Satan is. That's where they get it from. Just as Jesus said in John chapter number 8, he said, you're of your father the devil.
Yeah.
The works of your father you will do. For I say, that is the one that I follow.
Yeah.
For you say, that's who you follow. You say, well, preacher, no, not me. Well, you're wrong. Why? Because the word of God says so. Whether we realize it or not, of course we don't realize it when we're following the devil. Nobody follows the devil willingly. And if they did, they're foolish, one of them Satanists or something like that, you know. Yeah. And I don't even understand how you get that far off track. But I ain't going to chase that rabbit today. I'm just going to tell you this, that nobody is just going to naturally, more than likely, initially just go to following Satan.
Right.
But we do. We don't realize it. Not did. Nebuchadnezzar did. This world system does.
Yeah.
You know what Satan wants to do? He wants to burn you out. He wants to get you to follow his way. He says, look at what I've done. He says, look at what I've given. He says, now you just follow me. He tried to get Jesus with that.
Yeah.
He said he took him up to heaven. He said, I'll give you everything. See, hey, the Bible says he's the prince of the power of the air. Amen. Hey, God has allowed him to have certain dominion over certain aspects of this life down here on earth. And hey, I'm going to tell you right now, he can offer you all kinds of things. There's been plenty of men and women that have given their souls so that they can have material gain. Hey, I'm going to tell you, they give up their health, they give up their families, they give up everything in life just to have another dollar. Hey, I'm going to tell you, it does not satisfy.
Amen.
That's what he offers. And if you're not willing to take it, and if you refuse that, if you refuse the offer that Satan gives and wants you to do things his way, you say, no, devil, I'm going to go to church. No, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my Bible. Then you know what he does? He says, oh, man, that's a true believer. I'll never see him in hell. So I put him through fire in my kingdom.
Yeah.
He begins to send trials your way. He begins to send things you into your life to cause you to get burnt out. Why do you think it is that we're here and that we're still here on a Wednesday night and we still come in on a Sunday morning? The revivals don't break out like they used to. People don't cry and shout like they used to. Hey, I want to tell you, it ain't your neighbor's fault. Ain't nobody's fault but your own. You want to see the problem with that? Take a good look in the mirror. Amen. But I want to say this tonight, that we get burnt out. That's design. That's by design. That's what Satan wants. That's what the devil wants. Hey, we're dry a lot of times, but at least we got the discipline to be at the house of God. At least we got the discipline to know we got to open our Bible and read and study the Word of God. At least we've got the discipline in us to stick it out even through the hard times and to pray through it. Amen.
Amen.
That's what God would have us to do. Pray through it. Stick it out. Just as Nebuchadnezzar here, the king, said this to him, they had him brought to him, and he found out that they wasn't doing it. He says, verse number 14, he said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be the same hour. You shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." I love that, don't you?
Yeah.
What they're saying is that we ain't worried a bit about telling you what we think.
Yeah.
I said, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. I said, we'll just go ahead and just tell you how it is. This is the king.
Yeah.
This is why government, those that have authority, has such a power problem with God. Because if he's sovereign, he's got power, that means they don't.
Right.
And they don't like to think
Amen.
That way.
Amen.
That's what's wrong with them politicians. He says, "If it be so," I said, "we're not careful to answer thee." Verse 17 says, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king.
Amen.
But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." They said, "If it be so," they said, "God is able to save us from that burning, fiery furnace." Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, the world and Satan has got snares laid out for you. They is traps that's laid before you. Even tonight when you get home, on your way home, Satan's got things waiting on you. Hey, I'm going to tell you, the next time you turn on the television, he's got snares and weights. You pull up, you unlock that phone, and you pull up that home screen. He's got snares and traps waiting for you. Hey, I'll tell you, next time you go to Walmart or next time you go down at the fish camp or wherever it might be, hey, he wants you to mess up. He wants you to fall short some way. He wants to put you through some kind of trial. It might be the next time you go to the doctor for a visit, you might get some news like Miss Holly did. We'll be praying for her. But I mean, you know, you think about that, her going in and her expecting to hear something. She don't know what she's going to hear. It's got to be beside it. It's got to be bothering her. Hey, I want to say this. I'm glad that whenever I face them times, I'm glad that whenever I go through those times, Jesus is with me in that fire.
Amen. Yeah, amen.
Whenever they seen it, said that they heated that furnace 7 times more than it should have been heated.
Yeah.
It's so hot that the Nebuchadnezzar's strongest men, whenever they took him up there to throw him in, said that the fire consumed them.
Yeah.
They threw him in there bound. He said, "Did we not throw 3 men bound into the fire?" Mm-hmm. Said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I see 4. And the 4th is like the Son of God."
Yeah.
Now you read that and you don't read in there. I don't read anywhere, and I don't know. I'm not saying that it ain't so, but I don't see anywhere where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego seen the Son of God walking with them. But Nebuchadnezzar seen it.
Yeah.
I want to say this, there have been times in my life, it's been hard, it's been difficult. And I couldn't see God walking with me, but I know He is there.
Yeah.
Later on, somebody else seen that. You ever seen God walking with somebody? Amen. You ever seen somebody go through something and God be with them? Amen. Hey, I'll tell you, we don't never know what tomorrow holds. But I know this, God is good.
Yeah.
He's with us even through the fires. I went last week. I went to the dentist the first time in 20 years, a couple weeks ago. And he's looking at my teeth. He said, I got one cavity. He said, my teeth look really good. He said, he's really surprised I hadn't been to the dentist in 20 years. He said, my teeth is in good shape. He said, but he's found a place down here in my lip. He said, it don't look good. He said, I want you to go. He said, I'm going to get you to a oral surgeon. He said, I want to do a biopsy. I said, oh, man. I said, what are they looking for, cancer or something? He said, yeah. I said, okay. So, you know, I went last week, and I didn't tell nobody, and I'll tell you why. Because I wasn't worried about it. I wasn't worried a bit about it. God gave me peace about it. I was going to go ahead and do it, but God already gave me peace about it. And I mean, I'm talking about peace that, not that I wasn't going to have cancer. God would give me a peace that whether it was cancer or not cancer, didn't matter what it was, that I was going to accept it. And I was going to trust Him. And if I died from this cancer, I was going to trust Him. He'd give me peace about it. Now, like I said, that's not something that I'd have had or on my own.
Yeah.
But He is walking with me. Now, I went to the oral surgeon, and he looked in my mouth, and he said, I'm not doing a biopsy. And I said, why not? He said, because your mouth's fine. I said, well, the dentist said, the dentist is trained to look at teeth. That's what he told me. He was a pretty direct guy. I kind of liked him.
Yeah.
But he said, you know, pretty much the dentist didn't know what they was talking about. He said, don't worry about it. Go home. Went up there, walked with me up there in front, and told him to refund me my money. And they did. He said, I don't want to waste his time. He said, because I paid $200 to get in there and have them cut my lip open. But either way, I had peace about it. These boys had peace going into this. Whether God would save them from this fire or whether they died in that furnace that day, they said, no matter what happens, we're not going to worship your gods.
Yeah.
We are not going to fall down and worship that golden image. They said, we're going to serve our God. Amen. No matter what happens, we're going to serve our God. Hey, I'll tell you, is your walk with God conditional on what's going on in your life? Does it take everything going good in your life for you to worship God? I'd say not. Everything be going good for you and you forget about God. Everything going your way, you ain't got no reason to think about God. But on the other hand, don't get so down in despair whenever you're going through difficulty, whenever you're facing medical things or whenever you're facing financial things or whatever it is you're facing, whatever battle it is that's before you. That's a fire. It's a trial. And Satan wants you to get burned out. But God wants to purify you. Amen? The purpose God allowed us to go through those fiery furnaces is the same reason that the smith puts the silver and the gold into the furnace to try it 7 times. That each time that it comes out, every time that it goes through that fire, he pulls it out and he melts it down and he takes and he scrapes the slag off the top and he gets the impurities out and he casts it into ingots and then he takes them and he puts them in another furnace again and he melts it down again and the slag comes to the top and he scrapes it off and it gets the impurities out and then he puts it into ingots again and he does it again. And the Bible tells us that it's a silver trial 7 times in a furnace. And I'll tell you, this furnace was turned up 7 times hotter for a reason. They were going through that trial, that fiery furnace. When the Bible talks about trials, that's what it's talking about. It's talking about as if you were trying precious metal, getting rid of those impurities, bringing them to the surface so that the one that's working the material can take it out of the way. Hey, I want to tell you, whenever you go through a trial, those imperfections and those impurities in your life, they'll come to the surface. see some of these old men of God. I remember when I first surrendered to call to preach, and I'm about done. I remember when I first surrendered to call to preach. I think about Preacher Billy, my grandpa, Preacher Joe Cook. Think about Preacher Charles Lewis and some of these old men of God, what great faith they had. It seemed like they never struggled with nothing.
Yeah.
I get around my grandpa, and I remember even in death, you know, he was fine. They told him, said, "You got cancer, it's bad." He said, "All right." I wasn't there at the doctor, Daddy told me about it. He said, "All right." That doctor got him, and he said, "Mr. Knupp," he said, "I don't think you understand me, sir." He said, "This cancer is bad." He said, "You're going to die, sir." Papa looked at him dead serious. He said, "Son, I'm ready to die." He said, "Because I've been saved by the grace of God." He said, "Are you? Because you're going to die too." That's what he told him. And all through all that, I never seen him one time get mad at God. He went through that. They cut his head almost completely off. They cut him all the way around the front, all the way around the back. There's two little pieces about that big on the sides of his neck where they didn't cut. They went there and they built a cage all around his neck. It didn't help him a bit. And he spent the last several months of his life laying and sitting up in bed, unable to move or unable to get comfortable, and could hardly breathe or eat. Had to drink through a, had to eat everything he'd eat through a straw. He couldn't swallow nothing. And he struggled to breathe. But you go in there and he'd just brag on God. He'd lift up the name of the Lord. And I see him old man that's like that. And some of these old women that's like that. And I think, man, how could I ever be like that? But you know what? The longer I've been at this, the more I've learned. They didn't get there overnight.
Right.
They had to go through that fire a few times. They had to go through that furnace a few times. They had to be tried just a little bit. Praise be to God, look at what come out. Hey, something that's a whole lot more precious than what went in. And every time you go through a trial, dear Christian, know this, that God's going to bring you out being more valuable, being more precious, and with less imperfections than you had when you went into that fire. These boys, they went into this, and Satan meant it for evil, God meant it for good. And things you go through in life, you might feel like the devil's throwing you a lap. That might be the case. And he does want you to get burnt out. And he does want you to get overwhelmed. He does want you to get where you just can't take the heat no more. And I would say this, he wouldn't be allowed to put you through that. And God not allowed it. And God, the Bible says, works all things together for the good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Never trial we face, never hardship we walk through. He's with us, amen. He's with them boys there, and he's with you. Now, you might not see, you might not feel him, but praise be to God, I want to tell you, if you'll just realize that he's there, others will see him, amen. You don't know how you might change other people's lives. The Bible says that after, in verse 25, it said, he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the fiery furnace and spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God." Hey, just here a few verses ago, 10 verses ago, he said, "Who is that God that should deliver you out of my hands?" Mm-hmm. Now he calls to him, he says, "Oh, servants of the Most High God." He said, "Come forth. And come hither." And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come forth out of the midst of the fire. And the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God." Now look here. Here you got this king that's full of pride. You got this man that goes and he builds his statue. He calls all the rulers together. He calls all the councils together. All the important people in the kingdom. They got to come see him. And they're there and they're witness to this. And then somebody says, now, hey, these people didn't fall down and worship. He calls them forth. He says, what's the meaning of this? And he's upset. He's wroth. He says, who is that God that delivered you out of my hands? He says, I'm the one with power. I'm the one that's in charge. But then whenever he sees them go through that, and he sees God with them, he sees their faith. Look at what it does for him. You don't know what it's going to affect, how it's going to affect others. Don't just invite somebody to church when things are good. Don't just wait until everything's going your way or the church's way or the church is doing all great things to tell somebody about Jesus and tell them to come to the house of God. Let them see your faithfulness even in the hard times. Let them see your trust in God even when things are difficult beyond your comprehension, whenever it's out of your control, whenever you're bound, whenever you're tied down, whenever you can't move and you can't budge and you're in the midst of a fire, know this, that he's there with you. And remember that he's with you. And trust him. And others will see him. If this world out here would see us trusting Jesus in those hard times the way that we ought to, they'd do just like Nebuchadnezzar. Joe Biden would do just like Nebuchadnezzar. Barack Obama would do just like Nebuchadnezzar. You say, there ain't no way. They wasn't as prideful as Nebuchadnezzar. I'm telling you. Look at what all he done. Look at his attitude. Look at his mentality. Look at them. They ain't no worse off than he was.
Amen.
You know what they need to see? They need to see you trust in God. Even in the hard times.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads for prayer. You might be walking through a fire right now. I want to say this, you can come out the other side and not even have the smell of smoke on you. But either way, no matter what happens with this trial, you can trust God. Those three Hebrew boys, they said that even if we die, we'll trust God. That even death itself is deliverance. From the body of sin, the body of flesh. There's people in your life right now that are watching you. Everybody's got good days. Everybody's got bad days. Funny thing about all the other religions, the Buddhists and the Muslims, they say that they have Allah's favor whenever things are going their way. We can say we have God's favor no matter what. Because he loved us. And he died for us. He's already proven himself to us. We can trust him even tonight. He walks with us through the hardest times of life. He carries us. Takes care of us. Leads us and guides us. As I pray tonight, if Lord spoke to your heart, and you need to come to this altar for any reason. Why don't you come? Father, I thank you for your word and its convicting power over my life. And Lord, I pray that you forgive me, Lord, for not trusting you in some of the challenges I've faced in life. Lord, I've doubted. Lord, I've grown weary. And I've allowed myself to be despaired. Lord, I pray that you would forgive me and strengthen me, God, that I might trust you. You've gave me every reason in the world to trust you. Lord, to trust the outcome of any situation. And what little faith I do have, I thank you, God, for giving it to me. Lord, it's such a blessing to have the assurance of being able to trust you. I pray that you grant us all an increase of faith, that we trust you even more as we see the day approaching, Father, where that you should call us home, Lord, that you should send tribulation upon this earth. I pray, Lord, that we trust you in all matters. Lord, whether it's with our children, our grandchildren, our friends, or neighbors. The ones that we worry about getting left behind, Lord, let us just pray and continue, Lord, to serve, to be a light to them while we're here. But Lord, that even if we're gone, we trust you. Lord, as we face difficult times in life, help us to trust you. Lord, you've been faithful through it all. Lord, I've not been faithful by no means, and I fail so miserably so often. God, you've never failed me. Lord, I've given you every reason to doubt anything I would say that I would do. My word means nothing. God, your word means everything for everything you've ever promised, those great and exceeding precious promises. Lord, you've fulfilled every one of them. You've been faithful and honest and true and just in every way. I thank you and I love you, Lord. Thank you for allowing me to be at your house with this, my church family. What a blessing it is to have each and every one of them, and the encouragement that they give, and the prayers that they pray. Pray that you bless every one of them, Lord, in a way that help them draw closer to you. Help us all to be obedient, Father, Lord, that you might be glorified, for you're worthy. Lord, what an honor and privilege it is to serve you. Let us not take for granted the great opportunity we have in this day and hour to be a servant to you and to others. Lord, we ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Remember, be praying for the revival meeting next week. We got to be praying for the meeting over at Salt Rock. And also, forgot to mention, Brother Tim Shook is having a meeting the first part of next week down at Joy Baptist Church in Newton. Be praying much for his meeting as well. Any of y'all know him?
Yeah.
I know you know him. Your daddy's had him preach revival for you. I love Brother Tim. I preached revival for Brother Tim down there. He's blessed. All right. Does anybody have anything else?
I'd like to say that was pretty good right there, because that made me think back when, you know, I was first called to be, you know, a preacher to talk, speak the word of God. Even when I was in the fiery furnace of addiction, that God always stood by me, and I had the faith that I know that he is going to bring me out of it. And in that faith is when he showed me the miracles that he can do. And I mean, even as simple as putting gas in a vehicle, he done that a couple of times. And that just really made me think back of it, as having the faith, even in them fiery places, of how good God can be.
Amen.
And I mean, that just I don't know, just blows my mind at looking back on it now, of being clean and sober. And I mean, it's just a blessing.
Amen.
Just a blessing of what God can do when you do have the faith in him.
Amen.
Just thankful for it.
Amen. They said, our God is able.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank God for being so good and faithful to me.
Amen. Amen. I forgot to mention this, but you know, you might have something you've been praying for. God hadn't answered that prayer yet. You might be doubting. You might be carrying some kind of load on yourself. Stephanie come to me the other night. She's crying. She's worried about her kids. She's worried about if they'd all be saved or not. I said, that's fine. I said, they don't need to be upset. I said, we can trust God.
Yeah.
I said, we can trust God. I said, prayers are not answered because of the merits of the things that you've achieved and done for God.
That's right.
Prayers are answered because of faith.
That's right.
Because you trust God. Yeah. That's why he said that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could command a mountain to be moved out of its place and it would. They're answered according to merit, not ours, but of his.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
We can trust him. Amen.
Amen.
Preacher Matthew, would you just miss us in a word of prayer?
Lord, I thank you for letting us be in your house again this evening. I thank you for your word and God, my pastor. And God, I appreciate you working through him and preaching through him. Appreciate the encouragement from your word this evening. And God, I do pray that you would help us each to trust you in all the things that we face on a daily basis. And God, whether they be what we consider small things or what we consider great things, we realize, Lord, before you, they're all small things. And God, you've given us every reason not to worry. And God, I pray that you would help us to take that to heart. And pray that you would make us for you what you would have us to be, knowing how incapable we are of being that. God, I pray that you would just be it through us, Lord. God, I pray that you would keep us all safe as we go our separate ways and that you bring us back the next point of time and that you give grace and strength to each one according as we have need. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.